Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we are experiencing some technical difficulties. Please stand by. Gotta love live radio with more people. Okay, we're going to have to try this one more time, boys and girls. I don't even know if you heard us before, but here we go. We won't let that run too much longer.
That is loud. What the hell is that?
Yeah, it sounds that way because we don't have our headsets on. Thank you, Blog Talk. Oh, you all are not making the case for us to stay, really.
Blog Talk, you are a douchiness. If I can find anybody else that is even the slightest bit better, we are out of here.
You are not kidding.
This is crap. How the hell do you roll out a website that's not ready?
Yeah, to your paying customers. That's what you do to the free people. I'm sorry.
I know, and it especially... That's bullshit. I mean, because A, you're paying, and B, it's a website for radio shows. And if we can't actually call it, if the host can't use it, how the hell are you supposed to have a show, Blog Talk? Pull your heads out of your asses. Come on.
A warning. A warning would have been in order.
Seriously, that is... Oh, that just throws off my whole Friday. Screw you, Blog Talk. You ruined my weekend.
I mean, no. Really. I'm all ready. I'm like, I got my Paradox ready. I'm all excited. And
I don't
have
all these videos open. It's kind of one of those, what's the point of showing them if there's going to be no sound? There's nothing.
Oh, you know what? Now I get it. Okay, now I get what you were saying before. Yeah. So if you're watching Twitch, you just close it up. We're not over there today.
Yeah, I'm not even streaming. It's just...
Yeah, unfortunately, BT messed up our whole everything. I don't understand. I mean, yeah. We're going to move along because this is not about us. It's about you. It's about you people.
Yeah.
We'll keep that in mind. Oh, man. Oh, somebody's in trouble. Somebody is in trouble.
Somebody is in serious trouble. First trouble.
So hopefully you were listening to our This Week in Gaming last night, which is actually a sneak preview of our show, Tech Bitch, which, as you see, we'll be doing a lot of that. Bitching about technical things.
Yeah!
And Ginger got to take a break from us because we worked Ginger way too hard. So she got to chill out on the couch and type if you were watching our Twitch.
I know, I was all alive. What's up, no stories? Okay.
Yes. Now, by the way, you did ask me what was that. That is a song which I'll probably play again when we can actually hear it so Ginger can hear it because I was wanting her to hear it.
Yeah, because all I was hearing was like...
The guitar.
Really, really, really loud. It almost sounded like an alarm going off. And I was like, I live close to a bass. I hear this all the time.
That is a song called Crown on the Ground. It's by a all-girl group called Sleigh Bells, and they... are featured in the new Dr. Pepper commercial with boxer model Michaela, which I think is the most epic commercial I've seen in a good long while. I think they took a note from Nike and ran with it, and it works. Me and Baby Natrix watched the commercial, and we were like, oh, my God. I think I want to take boxing and pose while I do it. Okay, anyway. So, yeah, I posted it up on our Facebook, like, right before the show because, you know, I was trying to be all savvy so you could see where I got the song from. But thanks, Blog Talk.
Oh, Corey is totally savvy. Oh, I was about to say shabby. Shabby.
Game Street has invited us to their Super Bowl party, by the way.
Really? Where is said Super Bowl party?
They're in Sarasota, Florida, but I told them if they added hot wings, we're so there. But, see, I neglected to tell you they're a game streamer. It has to be a certain kind of hot wing. It has to be crunchy and not just the bone part. I like the crunchy hot wings. And I don't want the sauce on it already. I need to dip it in the sauce. See, I'm particular about how I like to eat certain things.
Yeah.
Look, just ask my man. I'm very particular. That was dirty. That was too dirty for daytime. Okay.
That was slightly dirty. Dirty for daytime. Wow. See, she always gets on to me for saying this stuff. And then here she is talking about it on her own. How dirty she is.
I totally love you.
You're like awesome and stuff. So yeah.
I'm mad. I keep looking at our page, going, "What the beep?"
No, I'm over here trying not to think about it because I'm so irritated right now because you know I had all you know I'm gonna post these videos because Flash is just a slut anyways and likes to use up all the processes.
And I was giving them all kind of compliments about how pretty everything was.
I know, and then they had to go and ruin it.
You know what, this is a very good case as to why sometimes small businesses work better. We have had glitches, like when we had our Valentine's Day thing we did with Fallen Earth some years ago. We had a major glitch where our store thing did not work when I set it up, but I had a backup plan in place, which involved all of us just doing it manually, and once we got the hang of it, we did.
Oh, my God.
But it was hard on
us. So many keys sent out manually.
But we did it. Sometimes we're doing it together. Sometimes we're doing it in shifts. Okay, I'm tired. You take over. I'm going to go back and eat. But we got most of them out.
Those people were like militant. What's that key?
Yeah, they were ravenous. Was it you or was it Snow? I had to come to one of you irritated. Was like, you know what? I'm just going to tell them. Get no key.
I think it was Snow who went off.
Yeah, it probably was. She was like, let me just type this note. You know what? You don't need a key. Beep, beep, beep. And I was like, no, you cannot send that out to people. You cannot do that.
I still find it funny because I ride around with it on my back and people are like, oh, what is that? Where did you get that? Where did I get one? I want one. Nope.
Yes, yeah, so we'll be doing a similar one, but we're going to make you guys work for these keys this time. Not going to be just
We totally are going to make you work for the keys, folks.
You're going to work. Okay, we've had our banter. We're running behind.
We have. Hello, Joe.
Look, let me gripe about one more thing here. Okay, you revamped your page, and you still did not add gaming. We want to channel all to... You know what? We don't have to get out of here. I'm sorry. Y'all may have lost yourselves.
We can stream it straight to YouTube now.
You know, you have a flipping point. Let us discuss later.
We do it through Google Plus.
Flipping point there. You have a flipping point. We may need to look at those options later.
We can advertise that shit.
Girl, you're not just dropping S-bombs because I'm going to still have to pull these shows off of here.
Sorry. It's crazy. My bad.
Oh, gosh.
It's not what I said, I swear. It sounds like it, though.
I know.
All right, so.
Be my turn. My turn? Who's going first? Tag.
I'll go first. Mine.
Okay.
ID Tech Camps add Portal 2 and Minecraft to summer programs. ID Tech Camps announced today that it's adding two video games as educational tools for students aged 7 through 18. As part of this year's summer camps, ID Tech Camps is a summer program that teaches the fundamentals of STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, to children in a fun and engaging way. The programs will help students learn how to design their own video games and create apps for iPhone and Android devices, alongside other technology-focused creations they can build. For its 2013 camp season, by the way, you've got to get a little one in there, Ed Tech Camps will feature three new courses that use Minecraft. There will be courses that use Portal 2, Trackmania, and Shootmania Storm. The way students learn is changing, says Ed Tech Camp CEO Pete Ingram Kachui, in a prepared statement. We have to offer them the opportunity to experience subjects applicable to future careers while providing tools to problem solve, create working teams, and use critical thinking skills. This is awesome. If I had a kid, oh, I would be finding a way to get my kid into this. This sounds so neat. Man, why didn't they have cool stuff like this back when I was a kid?
I'm all muted.
Why didn't my parents get me in this? This is awesome.
I am all kinds of muted. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm so irritated.
If you want to get your kid in this, it's internaldrive.com. I'm gonna tweet this out, and I'm also going to copy over this over to Corey, because seriously.
Okay. Because
she's got, like...
Yeah, because Baby
Natrix... A brilliant mind over in her house.
Yeah, Baby Natrix is a little egghead. I will not...
She's amazing.
Well, I'm not going to reveal her science fair project because she says she may want to enter the Google Plus science fair project. It's an experiment that's been done before, but I think she's put a little weird twist on it. I'm really not sure where she's going with it. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm kind of scared to ask because I think, like I said, I think she's going to be smarter than me. So
I think that always ends up happening. Hello, Jay. Hello, Jay. Thank you for joining us. I know, Jay, but it's not my fault. Blog Talk did it. It's all their fault.
Yeah, we're very irritated. Okay. All right. If you saw what I just tweeted, that is not a joke. We are one step closer to being able to read minds. Yes, they found some science. All
you
right.
Tweeted?
Well, this is...
Oh, my God. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, this is a conclusion that I'm coming to. Okay, so, of course, our friends over at VentureBeat... Capture this little story, and that's a perfect word for it. The insides of computer systems are often portrayed in sci-fi movies as like a vast network of virtual structures and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And as it turns out, the brain, of course, is very similar. So for the first time, Japanese scientists, had to be the Japanese, captured video of a thought being formed. And it looks, and they're saying it looks very much like a miniature lightning arc tracing its way across the mesh structure of neurons. See, sometimes we give you some other geeky stuff, but be scared, okay? Now, this is not a human brain that they were able to do this from. They exported it from a skull of a sliced up skull, and it's the brain of a baby zebrafish is what they did, and they said that it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, it's not a human brain.
Yeah, and they said that, yeah, they're going to make the real. They probably have already done us. They're just telling us about the zebrafish. That's how I believe it. But apparently the zebrafish lives to tell the tale. Researchers say they chose this particular creature because in their embryonic and larval stages, zebrafish have the wonderful property of being almost completely transparent. So they just looked inside. They didn't cut him open. The scientists dosed the little baby fish with some fluorescent ink. If you don't know what that is, that's when they inject a little green glowy dye into your body. And when the neurons are activated, it induces a paramecium. Y'all know what that is, right? Tiny protozoa things.
Yeah.
And this makes them swim, which causes the zebrafish to perk up and then think about a snack. So this caused the neuron impulses to be fired off in their brain, in the what they're calling the optic tectum region of the brain, and then the Japanese researchers captured video of it. And naturally, they uploaded it to YouTube, solving the once and for all perplexing question, which is, what do fish think about? So you know if they've done this with the fish, it's only a matter of time before they get to us. And if they can film a thought being formed, they're eventually we're going to have some weird Matrix. What's that other movie with Leonardo DiCaprio? Inception. We're going to have some of that going on, I'd say, in the next 30 years. I hope when I'm so old, nobody is caring what I'm thinking about.
But that is so awesome, I think.
It is awesome, but it ironically, Snow and I were having a discussion about this yesterday about things that are perceived that we perceive some people to be crazy. You know, they say, "Oh, I'm psychic," or, "Oh, you know, I can see other things and beings." And I was telling her, I actually had another discussion with, you hear me talk about Max often, Max Danger and Max's girlfriend and I were having a discussion about a lot of these things that people are saying they're seeing. Maybe they're not crazy. Maybe it's science that we haven't quite figured out yet how it works. Yeah, and I think that this is one of those things that's going to lead to a whole lot of mind reading, and I'm not saying I agree with it. I just find it interesting. I'm hoping I'm gone before we get to that point.
I hope I'm here because I want to be like, ha, I told you so.
So I am kind of freaked out a little bit. Because I'm telling y'all, they showed us the fish, but I'm telling you, they've already got a human over there. I'm telling you, they do.
That is totally awesome. That is amazing. That is so cool.
And Ginger, you had a theory you came up with a theory like this last year about how you think people are interconnected. But what?
Yeah. I noticed a bunch of the girls that I played with in video games. Those of us who played a lot, spent a lot of time together in video games, all started having armistices at the same time. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, there's got to be something to it that we all started regulating on the same schedule. I mean, because we've heard about it in workplaces where, you know, girls work close together. But we've always said, you know, that's probably the hormones, you know, pheromones, something that we can smell that we don't realize. And that's what sets it off. Well, over the internet, we're not smelling each other, but something was going on, it seemed.
Yeah, that again is, like I said, science hasn't quite figured out quite a few things yet. We seem to think we know everything. We don't. We apparently don't.
No, we don't. We don't at all.
This is going to be...
And hell, they downgraded Pluto from a planet last year. Was it last year now?
They downgraded what? What happened?
I'm still upset about that. Pluto's no longer a planet.
Oh, you're muffled. Anyway, I got to do one more story. For my peoples, because it's going on right now. Okay, you can't watch us on Twitch, but you can go and watch our friends Paradox Interactive. It's twitch.tv /Paradox.
Name of that redhead.
Yeah, the Paradox Interactive War of the Roses. And the lovely person that's doing the voiceover, Brian Blessed, he does the voiceover DLC. Paradox Interactive, of course, is hosting what is it you guys are hosting today? This is for War of the Roses Kingmaker. Loyalists to the House of York and Lancaster will now have access to the content available to others since the release, including the previously exclusive armor sets for both the Red and White Rose Kingmaker. Their new DLC will also introduce two new game modes, Assault and Assault Castle, where knights will face new attacks and defense scenarios
that
aim to truly test their skill as a team. A free trial version of War of Roses is also going to be released on February the 6th, which will allow anyone to download and play the game for free. The trial version will have access to all online battles. Yes, we love free. Online battles enabling aspiring warriors to fight alongside all existing players, paid or trial. The trial version will limit players by disallowing any unlocks, giving access only to the game's base classes and weapons, giving trial players a chance to live true knighthood, because true knights need all that extra stuff. In addition, they said they'll be releasing some other new premium DLC for War of the Roses, starring a famously boisterous British actor, Brian Blessed, who I absolutely adore. He's going to be the new narrator for the game. His booming voice, they say, will inspire knights by announcing in-game events and warnings, giving new meaning to the iconic command, kill the enemy. On top of all these new additions, all versions of War of the Roses are scheduled to receive new content in the form of new Outside of the Law update that'll be coming out. That's going to add all new Deep Forest map to the game's selection, along with armor pieces Robin of Loxley would even be proud of. They're going to be streaming some footage, or they are right now, War of the Roses, because it's what about 4 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. This is during the convention that they're holding at Reykjavik, Iceland, and they're, yes, little red-haired boys, they are Ginger.
Yay!
So make sure you go over and watch. Tell them that we sent you. I'm not certain about the game. I'm not sure if this is the one I saw that they were doing that I actually liked. I tend to shy away from the whole... Well, no, not the Knights one. The Knights is a little more up-to-date. I'm getting tired of the Orc Troll variety where there are no Knights. You know, the Lord of the Rings era. I like this one a little more. It's
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if this is the one. They have one that they've done in that area, you know, the Castle Camelot, that is gorgeous when we were looking at the weather effects. And I want to say this is the RTS. Yeah, this is the one. War of the Roses. Yeah. Y'all might want to check this one out. Go over to their Facebook page and you'll see. Man, I'm missing the Twitch this morning. Dang it.
I know. We got so used to it, and it makes the show so much more interactive. I love it.
Yeah.
Blog talk. Seriously, y'all did not want to do that this morning.
Mm-mm. Today was not the day. Not pleased.
We will break up with you just like that. All right, so won't even be, you know, everything in the box to the left. It'll be everything's out on the curb, and it's on fire.
What?
If you want it, you better come get it.
Oh, my God. It took me a minute to catch on to that one, and as a Texas woman, I should know that. Your stuff is on the curb, and it's on fire.
All right, so Gangsta, we talked to y'all about this. This is like the new competitor against Ouya. Well, its Kickstarter closed at 648% funded. Wow. The most portable TV games console proves to be one of the most successful Kickstarter technology projects. The team behind GameStick today raised the glass and let out a cheer as one of the most successful technology Kickstarter projects closed at $648,000. CMO over at PlayJam, Anthony Johnson, says, "We are overwhelmed, excited, grateful, thrilled, and everything in between. The campaign has been an incredible success with support from thousands of backers worldwide, but this is just the beginning. The feedback from the Kickstarter community has been invaluable in shaping the final product, and we will continue to seek input from those that supported us to ensure continued innovation ahead of a global retail launch." The campaign to fund the project, the production of GameStick, it's set to ship in April 2013, so just a couple of months. Closed today at 7.36 PST, which with pledges coming in right up to the last second, finishing at 648% of the original target. Those that missed out on the Kickstarter campaign will be able to pre-order via the GameStick website over at GameStick.tv. GameStick is a small yet powerful dedicated games console that plugs directly into a TV's HDMI slot. Comes with a fully featured Bluetooth controller ready to go right out of the box. When on the move, the two combine into a single unit, putting big screen gaming right into the pocket. The device will be compatible with other Bluetooth controllers, enabling true multiplayer functionality. GameStick's purpose-built game store will be powered by PlayJam's built-for-TV technology, enabling users to browse, download content, and interact with wider GameStick community. That is kind of cool. But you know what? F you, because the new PlayStation 4 is coming out next month. So, hey, you can keep your little...
Man.
In the pocket game, thank you.
I don't know. I think I'm gonna wait because you got to see what's going to happen with the PlayStation.
I can't wait. PlayStation 4, oh, my God.
Well, here's what worries me, okay? They were saying next year. I don't know if that means
yeah.
They rushed to get it out because they're trying to keep up with Nintendo. I just don't know what happened there. I'm kind of worried. And then the whole PS and Oculus is, you know, what's going on with you, Sony? I told you.
After the whole PS and Oculus happened, and after that last hack where the PS3 was unfixable, they were going to have to push up the PS4.
I said it. You did.
And here it is.
I've heard rumor,
and you know whether or not it's true, we'll find out, that the PS4 is going to be backwards compatible with PS3 games.
Well, they said that about PS3 and PS2, and they said, I'm going to wait and see because Microsoft says that too, and the only people that are actually backwards compatible is the one that everybody's always mad at, is Nintendo.
Nintendo always gets it right out of the box, people. Nintendo always gets it right. I can't say it always works 100% because we had to hold a bug this time, but
all that was wrong this time is they did a software push. I haven't heard anybody that had to return it because it was broken, no red rings or whatever it is, blue rings, their controller's not working.
Oh, good God. I had a red ring within 15 minutes of setting up my Xbox the first time. I was like, are you kidding me?
That is cry-worthy right there. That is.
Oh, I was hot because I'd gone out to Walmart. It was like 11 o'clock at night. I picked the thing up and brought it home and was setting it up and... Within 15 minutes, it red rings. I was like, are you effing kidding me?
That's when you go back to the store.
Luckily,
and throw it through the big glass window at Walmart.
That was hot.
Take it
Luckily,
back.
It was just that because your Xbox, once you set your Xbox up, well, you've got one. You can't set anything near it. Anything at all, period. It's got to have like a foot on either side for breathing room. Otherwise, that thing will overheat like...
Well, the newer ones don't, and I'm on my third one. So the third one that I've gotten is been good so far. Fingers crossed.
And that's the thing. You're on your third one. How many Nintendos are you on? How many Wii's are you on?
Still on my first one. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any problems with it.
You got that at release, didn't you?
Yep, I got it at release first day. No problems with it. And I didn't even have the strap bracing. That's how I know some people were just throwing way too hard. You don't need to throw the fake bowling ball. Like, it's a real one, really.
Know. Okay. So some people are just not so bright. And then, you know, because my Xbox for 15 minutes red ring, my PS3, the actual disc area, the Blu-ray, won't read anything. It's broken. The little plastic parts, like, did some kind of weird crunching thing, and it doesn't work. And that's fine. I've got, you know, the terabyte drive in it, so I just download everything. But
yeah, but you'd like to be able to pop a disc in there. I'm sure you would.
I know you can't run games that way.
Wow. Okay, Gabe Newell, I don't even know what to think about you.
What did Gabe
now,
this time? Who is he mad at this time?
Apple now.
Why are you mad at Apple? What did Apple do to you?
He's not actually mad at them, but this is how he started with Microsoft, so I'm pretty sure it's going to descend into some type of anger or something along those lines. He is saying that Apple is the largest threat to their proposed Steam Box, according to a lecture by him given at UT, LBJ School of Public Affairs. So you were here by me?
I
need you to stay at my state, Gabe. Okay, so the biggest challenge, he said, I don't think it's from consoles. I think the biggest challenge is that Apple moves on the living room before the PC industry sort of gets its act together. He said the threat right now is that the Apple has gained a huge amount of market share and has a relatively obvious pathway towards entering the living room with their platform. He also said, I think that there's a scenario where we see a sort of dumbed-down living room platform emerging. Ooh, that was not a good bad choice of words. I think Apple rolls the console guys really easily. The question is, we can make enough progress in PC space to establish ourselves there and also figure out better ways of addressing mobile before Apple takes over the living room. Despite many analysts predicting the death of the PC game, you know, y'all been saying it for the last 20, 30 years in the face of
PC
tablets.
PC ain't going nowhere.
Sorry to tell you, as long as there are little people like us.
Your consoles can't produce the games that we play, so.
Nope, a tablet can't play some of, yeah, you're right, can't play some of the games. You can't even run it when it's in a cloud. Remember me with on Live? I couldn't run, if I could have run Tropico via an iPad, I would have been sold. I'm sold, I'm going to get rid of every PC in the house, but no. He says he also thinks a whole bunch of hardware companies are going to be releasing products in the next 12 months. He says, and you'll hear it referred to as Miracast, Shield from NVIDIA, or lots of other people. He says there's going to be a huge set of products that say if you relatively cheap at a price point well below anything that consoles be able to reach, you're going to take advantage of the PC that's running somewhere in your house. It's like one of those things where afterwards it'll seem like it was very simple when beforehand everyone sort of denied that it was possible. I agree and disagree with you, Gabe, and I think you ought to not be trying to take a dig at Apple. And then you say PC should do something. Guess who runs the PCs? Microsoft. And yes, Linux is in there somewhere. So you've dumped Microsoft. The
Linux
of the
is rearing its ugly little head, too. It's all like, look at us, look what we can do.
Yeah, Linux is like, I can run games. I could do that.
I got Team Linux.
So I think you know what you need to focus on, Gabe? You need to focus on your Steam and understand you are not quite as big as Microsoft gamers. Love you. I wasn't too fond of you last week because I couldn't play Tropico. But you still need to calm down. Focus on what you're doing. Stop looking at other people's paper. Eyes on your own paper there, Chief. Look, eyes on your own paper there, Chief. Watch what you're doing. Stop paying attention to everybody else. That's how you came up with Steam. Don't you agree? That's how he came up with Steam, because he wasn't focusing on everybody else. He came up with a brilliant idea. It works for you. If you're going to expand it, then expand it and shut up. Quit talking about everybody else.
Steam is amazing. Work with what you got. You have a beautiful platform there. You have a beautiful idea. Stick with it. Make it work. Come on.
Stop worrying about it.
You can do it.
he does not want to stop worrying about other people. I'm going to focus on, I'm going to apple on them.
Oh, we're fine. See you, Joe. Have a good weekend.
Is he leaving?
I'll check my mail a little bit. Yeah, he's leaving. He's leaving.
Where are you going, Joe? Oh, he's going home early. Hey, Joe, we'll sing a song for you when you get home.
She may sing a song for you because,
she's going to sing too. She's going to sing too. She just don't know it. Oh, my. I wish I could share this. The lovely photo from Second Life today. This was hot.
That's some beautiful pictures. Beautiful pictures.
Are you friends with them on Google Plus, by the way?
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Daily pictures. That one's gorgeous.
They also put it up on Facebook.
I'm not following them on Facebook. I probably should.
I follow everybody everywhere. I'm more like, where are you at? I'll follow you here. I'll follow you there. I'll follow you all over the place. Wow. Just not off that cliff, okay? All right, so EA's John Riccitiello, I don't know if I'm saying that right, has a couple of things to talk about on video games and violence. Electronic Arts CEO John Riccitiello recently spoke out on the idea that video games can be a catalyst that leads to real-world violence during a conference call with analysts to discuss the company's latest earnings. Acknowledging that the industry faces a perception issue, when it comes to video games, Riccitiello also said that games can also be a voice for good. Yes, thank you. And that there is no research to back up claims that video games directly cause real-world violence. Actually, there is research that proves it doesn't. There's been an enormous amount of research done in the entertainment field about looking for linkages between entertainment content and actual violence, and they haven't found any. Hundreds of millions of dollars of research has been done and has been unable to find a linkage because there isn't one. Now, having said all that, and with all, if you will, humility about the world we live in, we understand that while there may be no actual problem, given all the finger-pointing going on in the press, there appears to be the perception of a problem, and we do have to wrestle with that. Riccitiello also went on to say that the industry was stunned and horrified by the recent shootings in Connecticut, but that video games were not the cause. A-F-N men, not the cause, people. He believes that other members of the ESA need to step up to help tackle the issue of video games having a perception problem. Amen. It's true, folks. Well, you've got to speak out. The next time you hear somebody spreading that horrible rumor that video games is why that poor boy killed all those kids out in Connecticut, tell them, you know what? No, there's no proof that he even played video games. That was started by a plumber. And the Star, it's a flipping magazine that it's trash over, it's a tabloid. Don't read that kind of crap, people. Come on, it just rots your brain. So if you hear anybody talking about this, speak up. Tell them what you know. Point out that there has been research done and that it's proved again and again and again that there is no link between video games and, you know what, for that matter, we're going to be better than the movie industry. Let's go ahead and step up and tell them, you know what, there is no link between violent media, video games, or movies, and violent action. And Corey is muted, I think.
I'm not muted.
Okay?
I'm sorry. I've been trying to figure out which game you showed me last week that I had the pirates, and I just found it. And I'm about to tell you about it. Because I'm not going to. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to cut you. See, you knew it. You didn't tell me. Okay, let me just tell you. NO Games.
You didn't ask me.
I did. You were supposed to link me, and you said I'd give it to you later. And you pulled a me, and you went somewhere, and you forgot.
I gave you the link.
I don't have the link, woman. You know I love me some pirates. Okay. NO Games, pirate action game, Cartuga, is nearing its closed beta stage. The first detailed information about the title's ship types are announced. Players have a choice between light, medium, and large layouts. Overall, there are more than 40 types selectable in the game. NO Games presents some of them in a new video they posted up on YouTube, which we will try to add to our channel. But, you know, YouTube is a little persnickety about that, too, even though we have permission. I don't know why they think we'd be doing that and trying to get past it, but it will. Whatever. Depending on the chosen categories, ship properties differ vastly from each other. Light ships are fast and agile, but have very few health points. Large ships are unsinkable, but very slow and portly. Medium ships offer a balanced mix of strengths and weaknesses. Rare and high-level ships give players bonuses for various specifications. For example, you have more powerful attacks. In addition to many properties, the ship types also differ visually from each other. Because of this, a great optical variety on the oceans of Cartuga is guaranteed. InnoGames plans to start the closed beta near the end of this month. You can, of course, already pre-register at Kartuga.com, and that's spelled with a K, K-A-R-T-U-G-A.
Kartuga!
Yes, it's an action MMO with RPG elements. It's the 3D pirate game, which invites players to choose from three ship classes and develop their unique playstyle by leveling up and combining various skills and equipment. At the core of the game, developed by Ticking Bomb Games, is co-op PvP. Players challenge each other in teams of four or for intense, fast-paced matches. With more than 100 million registered players, InnoGames is the world's leading developer and provider of online games, or so they say. They are, of course, based in Hamburg, Germany, and have created such games as Tribal Wars, Forge of Empires, and Grepolis. I want to play. I'm going to go sign up. Oh, that reminds me. Snow dropped us a bit of news. The Burning, remember Pirates of the Burning Sea? They're closing.
Uh-huh.
They're closing.
That's sad. That's sad. But you know what? They really didn't advertise enough, I don't think.
Well, they were, you know, some people lag behind on their keeping up with understanding social media. They just do. And I'm one of them. I'm trying to step it up. But, gosh, it's a... I'm sad to see them go. That was another one that was run primarily by women. You know?
Yeah. Sorry, I was trying to read ahead for the story. Am I reading next?
Oh, apparently I'm already registered. Look, apparently I'm already registered for the closing.
I told you I gave you the link.
They're like, come on, you've already registered. Let me
hear that. You hear that? Corey's all like, give me the link. Tell her to hang up. I'm already registered because I gave you the link.
Let me in. I want to play. Let me in.
All right. So, an Xbox hoax leads armed cops to a family's home. Oh, yeah. Members of a Florida family were shocked to be awakened in the middle of the night to find their house surrounded by police with guns drawn, shouting at them to put their hands up. Police Lieutenant Mike Beavers said the commotion was very rare for the small town of Oviedo, about 20 miles northeast of Orlando. This is the first time I've heard of it happening in our little town. The frightened family did not want to be identified, but recounted the ordeal to ABC News. Father of two told ABC, I heard the doorbell ring. We didn't see anybody at the front door, and all we saw was the rifle barrel. That would be creepy.
Oh, my God.
The man said he and his wife originally believed they were being robbed. They have rifles. They have guns, I said. Let's get out of the house. So we ran down the hallway and got our two boys up. We were told to freeze and put our hands over our heads. They said, we're the police. So that was a big relief. But the family didn't realize was that an Xbox hoax had led the Oviedo police to its house. The police said that they were responding to a call from AT&T saying it had received online messages from a person who said he was hiding inside the house, claiming that someone had been killed there and that others were being held hostage. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
When police arrived, all they found was a very surprised and very confused family. Upon investigation, police learned that the confusion all started when an Oviedo teenager living in another house called police saying his Xbox had been hacked. The teenager said the hackers had threatened to call in bomb threats to his home if he did not meet their demands for gaming information. When the teenager refused, the hacker sent fake messages reporting the killing and hostage-taking at the teenager's former home. His previous address, where the police showed up, was still connected to his Xbox.
Oh, man.
Who was very bright, did some of his own investigating, police said, and provided authorities with some possible identifying information on the hackers. The caller gave information to officers regarding two possible suspects, including IP addresses, Twitter and Facebook accounts, and possible names of one of the suspects. That's odd. The information provided to the officers revealed that both suspects were located in different states. In other words, y'all done been caught. Y'all done effed up. You know, why would you do this? If you are wanting to steal gaming information, the kid wouldn't give it to you, which I don't blame him. And you know what? He's smarter than you. He called the cops.
I tell you what's
funny.
You,
on the other hand, are going to get banned from the internet. Nah, 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 nah.
What's really funny is you have some of you people that are thieving gonna have to come up with better. The one thing you don't want to steal from anybody's house, and they always steal, is the Xbox, because Microsoft doesn't like you stealing their things. That means their gamer doesn't have their console anymore, which means they're not buying games, which means money is not going to Microsoft's pocket. So as soon as you turn on that Xbox, you better be ready to never plug it into anything, or you need to be able to figure out how to disable the wireless before you even get it on. You have to figure this out. Because as soon as it comes on and they've reported that Xbox stolen, he didn't get Microsoft involved, but if he had, they would have bricked the console from afar, and then the police were going to show up anyway. There really was no way for you to win this. I know for a fact that Microsoft does this. They will brick it so you can't use it, and then they've already traced you, and then when you're like, why is it red ringing? Police. So you can't.
Yep.
You can't even sell it. Pawn shops won't take them. I do like that about them. I need more consoles to do that. Just give it up. Find something else to steal. Steal candy.
Okay, can I do another one? Can I do another one?
Why? Why do you get to do two? No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
All right. So, a children's magazine's getting smacked repeatedly.
Uh-oh.
Children's magazine promotes adult video games.
Wait, slow that down, because I didn't quite catch that. What?
A children's magazine, video game magazine, promotes adult video games. A British magazine distributed by a joint venture Condé Nast and Hearst Corporation and aimed at primary school children, which folks, primary school is like elementary here, has been featuring images of adult-rated video games. The most recent issue of Cool Kids, which is published by privately owned LCD Publishing, contained images of five games that carried ratings of 18 years under the European Gaming Industry's PEGI rating scheme.
See, they don't play.
Screenshots appeared as double-page spreads for use as posters and were reproduced in the spots the difference in other puzzles. Earlier issues also had games from 18 and 16 rated games. Children's campaigners and the said images reflected a growing problem of young children being exposed to violent video games, thereby increasing the chance that they start playing them earlier. It also highlighted what some critics describe as an apparent gap in regulation of children's magazines, since LCD does not appear to have broken any law or industry rule. Owner Alan Trump said, "We censor the images to ensure that there is no blood or apparent body damage."
There is not supposed to be in there. It's a kids' magazine. What part is not
there?
I know. This is why we have problems. This is
for children 12 or older. Yeah.
This is why we have problems.
This is such crap. I can't believe this. People, come on.
This is why we have issues right there. Because we have people that decide to post things like that for no reason at all. Or they think it's a game, so it's for kids. It must be, it's for kids, right? No, it is not.
No, it's not. And we don't need to keep, we don't need to allow parents who don't do the research to think that, I saw this image in my kid's, magazine. It should be okay because that magazine's for kids such and such ages. We don't need that. There are apps, people. If you know somebody who has kids and has video games, buys their kids video games, get the apps for them. There's a PEGI app if you happen to live over in Britain, because I know some of y'all are listening to us. And then there's the ESRB app here in the U.S. Use it.
No, because that, as my grandmother says, too much like right. So we can't just use it.
Apparently.
I cannot understand. I cannot understand why they think this is okay, and they're saying, it's okay because, we took all the blood out. No, and I'm going to say this. Whichever the game is, that was very irresponsible of you as well to buy the space, to pay for the space. It's a kid's magazine. You're not helping the rest of us. We're already, in the middle of this huge battle trying to prove to them that it's not violent, so we didn't need to put it in a kid's magazine. Stop it.
Oh, they're ruining it.
You ruins it. If it happens, says you ruins it. God.
I love our Corey.
He just wanted me to do Gollum. Wait a minute. That reminds me. Let me check. My one ring to rule them all is missing, and I think I know who took it. you know who you are. Yeah, I have the Lord of the Rings ring, and I don't see it. Somebody's going to catch a beatdown. I know exactly who has it. You are in trouble. Told y'all about tickets.
I don't know who it is. It wasn't me, so I'm all right.
No, what are you?
Me. I'm good.
And when you're okay. All right. I was about to talk about GameStick, but you've already done that. Well, there's news from Microsoft that, man, wait, this is juice. I got to share this. Speaking of Gabe Newell, see, this is what I mean by keeping your eyes on your own paper, because if you were, this would never have happened. Apparently, the Federation of German Consumer Association, I'm not even going to try to say their names, I'm just going to say Smith, has submitted a legal complaint over Valve's lack of haste in making changes to its end-user license agreement, the EULA. In September of last year, the Smith organization threatened to pursue Valve.
Pay attention to your own crap.
They threatened to pursue Valve in court if it did not change its EULA to allow Steam users to resell their digital content. Thank you. See, this is the argument we've been having back and forth with Blaster. If you can't resell it, it has no value.
I know, because he's always telling us, well, look how much my thing is. No, it's worth crap.
It's worth nothing.
But you can't resell it.
You can't sell it. It's worth nothing.
Because he's got, thousands of dollars of video games.
Yeah, you can't. But hopefully this will change, starting with the German people, because you know if it makes it happen. The organization mm-hmm. also took issue with Valve not allowing an opt-out for users that did not want to sign the new EULA. Ultimately, they do have an acronym, VZBV, I kind of like that, says that digital games should be handled like physical games and the current status quo isn't beneficial to consumers in the long run. We have submitted complaint against the company to the Distinct Court Berlin, VZBV, told spokesperson Eva Hotschulst, I think I said that right, told Cinema Blend. She says the VZBV has stated that it will take its case all the way to the Supreme Court if Valve doesn't come into compliance with the EU law. Valve will be modifying its EU law on January 31st, which was yesterday. But the VZBV believes that it may be a case of too little too late. I have to agree, and I'd like to see some other laws put into place about in regards to you have to have bought the base game from them. I have something on Steam from The Sims that I got for Christmas present that Blaster got me that I don't even think I can use, and it may just be a waste of his money. Because my original Sims, I bought that was a gift, and it was a hard
mm-hmm.
copy, and then I got a couple of digitals thrown in there too, and this one's a digital copy, but I don't think I can use it at all. It's a little stuff pack that he got me because he knows I like to build stuff, and it came with some new furniture, all that kind of business. So I'm excited, but I try not to look at it because I don't think I can use it. I just try to gloss over it when I open a Steam. I pretend it's not there, and that's ridiculous. See, Gabe, eyes on your own paper. Stop
mm-hmm.
worrying about
mm-hmm.
Apple. Get your own beep in order.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So, which one is I going to read here? I've got two. I'll go with this one. HMV UK cuts massive amount of workforce. Sorry, guys. At least it's not Christmas. UK retailer HMV has cut 190 jobs across the board, according to administrator Deloitte. Earlier reports have pegged the layoffs at 60, but the group overseeing the retailer's administration later confirmed the larger number. Most notably, HMV's head of technology and games, Ewan Pinder, was given a pink slip today. The 60 workers who lost jobs were apparently from HMV's head office in the UK. The last 2 years at HMV have been a blast, he said on Twitter. Now to the future. Hope it all works out for the team that remains. First batch now gone and questions being fielded. Clearly very upsetting and unhappy. MCB also reports that the chief financial officer, Ian Kenyon, has been let go, but the game team currently remains largely intact. So it sounds like they're shaking up who's in charge. Earlier in the day, HMV's official Twitter account posted a number of messages on the subject from someone that was in the process of being fired. Later, the messages were removed, but Polygon has an archive if you want to read them. The tweets were reportedly from a laid-off employee at the head office. Earlier this month, HMV Canada parent company, Hilco, bought out the bank debt of HMV, effectively giving it control and paving the way for rescue. Obviously, that rescue plan involves cutting costs, which, it usually does. And, it's going to be the little guys out there in the shop that's creating the games that they're going to keep. It's going to be all the ones in the offices that are kind of, weighing them down, bloating the whole payroll that they're going to get rid of. So sorry, guys and girls, whoever it is. 190 jobs lost. Man, that sucks. Corey.
All right. I'm not sure if I have time to do this next one.
Well, I can do another one if you want me to.
Well, actually, no, I need to do this one. It's kind of long, but I'm going to try to shorten it because we need to give some recognition to our fellow ladies. Jennifer Dulski, this is your life. No. Jennifer.
<Yay! laughs>
Jennifer Dulski, if you don't know who she is an executive from Google. She also recently joined change.org. If you don't know what that is, something is wrong with you. That's where all the cool petitions are. Right now, what is she doing? Well, she says she's planning on helping 25 million users change the world. Now, the bad news for you out there is if you don't have double X chromosomes, you're in trouble. now that she's at change.org, Dulski is planning to continue to grow the company and continue to pay it forward for other female leaders. She already mentors women in executive roles in various Bay Area technology companies and is part of a program with Young Presidents Organization in which all the chapters have started in Albright Angels. Cohorts. They're focusing on developing women angel investors who will be working with companies with female CEOs, perhaps us soon. Change.org has set up a women's mentorship program as well. For the site and services that Change.org offers, Dulski is planning to expand its international expansion and drive the economy to be able to continue to support rapid growth and scaling. She says we have 25 million users around the world. And according to VentureBeat, she said today when she walked into her office, their traffic was exploding, and they were hosting a big petition in Spain in which people are asking for presidential pardons. She said her role will be to help the world really scale so that we can continue to make the site fast and useful. And she said listen to the site's users and make the university make it universally useful to drive change at all levels, including for our women leaders. She's also one of the people who had the petition for the girls who demanded that they have more women at the presidential debates. And did you know it was 20 years before we had another woman moderator before these past couple of years? 20 years in between the time we had another woman moderator.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and we're about to get our first woman president. Hillary, we got your back.
She says she's not feeling like she wants to run for anything anymore.
She's lying. She's already – they've already hinted at it, and Bill has already said. He says, after Obama's done, I'm going to turn my attention to putting my attention to my wife and her her bid for the presidency. So I say go for it. Please do not let that other woman go in there. Please. I don't even want to see her.
No.
Although, you know what?
No. Are you talking about that Alaskan trash?
Yes. It would be – you know, it would be funny to see her try to go up against Hillary. Gosh, she would eat.
Somebody would be like, no.
Oh, eat her up.
Yes,
and,
you, yo.
Like, eat her up and spit out her heels. Not seeds, but heels. Just poof, you know.
That would be awesome.
It would be absolutely awesome. All right, guys, that is going to do it for us. Sorry for the late start. We couldn't be helped, but we will see you guys bright and early Monday. What do you say? You want to know when Tech Bitch starts? Well, we don't know yet, so you have to keep listening. We'll keep you updated.
No time for goodbye, he said, as he faded away. Don't put your life in someone's hands, they're bound to steal it away. Don't hide your mistakes, 'cause they'll find you, burn you. Then he said, if you wanna get out of life,
Ginger, run for your life.
Later, boys and girls. I think that's what you just said.